That finished it for them, naturally. I knew I couldn't get any more out of her after that. She just sat there behind her desk, her white face cold and remembering. I said, "Thank you, Dr. Calvin," but she didn't answer. It was 2 days before I could get to see her again. When I did see Susan Calvin again, it was at the door of her office. Files were being moved out. She said, "How are your articles coming along, young man?" "Fine," I said. I had put them into shape according to my own lights, dramatized the bare bones of her recital, added the conversation and little touches. "Would you look over them and see if I haven't been libelous or too unreasonably inaccurate anywhere?" "I suppose so. Shall we retire to the executive's lounge? We can have coffee." She seemed in good humor, so I chanced it as we walked down the corridor. "I was wondering, Dr. Calvin."
"Yes."
"If you would tell me more concerning the history of robotics."
"Surely you have what you want, young man."
"In a way. But these incidents I have written up don't apply much to the modern world. I mean, there was only one mind-reading robot ever developed, and space stations are already outmoded and in disuse, and robot mining is taken for granted. What about interstellar travel? It's only been about 20 years since the hyperatomic motor was invented, and it's well known that it was a robotic invention. What is the truth about it?"
"Interstellar travel."
She was thoughtful. We were in the lounge, and I ordered a full dinner. She just had coffee. "It wasn't a simple robotic invention, you know. Not just like that. But, of course, until we developed the brain, we didn't get very far. But we tried. We really tried. My first connection, directly, that is, with interstellar research was in 2029, when a robot was lost."